Hey, a reminder, follow us on Twitter at Bulls Unlimited. That's where you get the schedule for both channels right here on Bulls Unlimited and Bulls Unlimited 2. And we've been basically using the opportunity to have two channels to give you completely different options, a lot of replays of the UConn football game on one. And all week long on two, basically, we're playing all the postseason victories. That would be everything from the CBI for the men's team. Still can't believe sometimes when I hear that comeback against Stony Brook in the very first game. And then, of course, the women's two very dramatic games at the conference tournament up at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, followed by the WNIT win against Stetson. They would go on the next round to lose at James Madison. Looking forward to the women's basketball season. I'll be doing play-by-play. In fact, my play-by-play partner for what will be our third year together, Bridget Miranda, and I are going to hit up practice today, so I'm sure we'll have some of that for you on tomorrow's show. I was thinking about it, you know, what the starting lineup might look like, and it's going to be very, very interesting because their leading scorer, who had a fantastic year last year, Anna Padgett, who came from being a player who was hardly getting any minutes to a regular double-figure scorer to, again, being the leading scorer, not only is not guaranteed a starting spot, but you could make an argument that she wouldn't be one of the first two off the bench just based on, that's nothing against her, that's just based on the talent. You know, they've got two returning guards as freshmen last year, Sydney Harvey and Elisa Pinzon. And I know Harvey had a small injury and then she started to come off the bench. So unless that's going to happen again, then where would you put Padgett at the three? Because you got Louisa Shepta there. You got this Christina Brabankova, the freshman, who I think is going to be fantastic. And then don't forget that Beatrice Jordao returns as your starting center. You still have the two upperclassmen in Shea Leverett, as well as Tamara Henshaw underneath, and Betty Manunga, who is the junior college transfer underneath, is a four who led JUCO in rebounding last year and is this bundle of rebounds. And oh yeah, I haven't mentioned Maria Alvarez and Elena Sinecki, who can either play the one or the two and can both shoot the lights out. So yeah, that's a good situation and a good problem to have as far as deciding who's going to play. I think Jose Fernandez doesn't mind having to worry about such things. Hey, the men's basketball team was able to make a scheduling announcement as Memphis is going to be the darlings of the American Athletic Conference, and that's probably justified. What with the number one recruit in the country, James Wiseman, the 7'1" center leading the way. They're a top 10 team, and so therefore some of their games are already, a lot of their games are already mapped out for TV, and we knew that this was going to be a decision that would come down later than normal. Now we can tell you that the big game, and it is going to be big, against Memphis, Sunday, January 12th, that part was known. Now we can tell you it is a 4 o'clock tip. It'll be for ESPN2. So instantly, I look at the women's schedule, and they are in Tulsa that same day. It's a 6 o'clock start, so that's when and why we'll have Bulls Unlimited 2 to sort of handle that crossover between games so you don't have to worry about missing either broadcast that you want to turn into. Mentioned that men's soccer will be back at it on Friday. It'll be their first game officially, I guess, in 10 days, right? Because of the fact that against Tulsa, they didn't finish, although the stats didn't count as if the game never was played. They did play for nearly 70 minutes, and I got to thinking about it again. Didn't want to be too skeptical. Now, from my experience, and I'll make sure I confirm this if I can, that the home team has people in place, operations staff, to keep an eye on the weather. And again, going out on a limb here, but I'm going to guess the people in Tulsa that are on their operations staff wouldn't mind seeing Tulsa not lose the game. But as it got closer to the 70-minute mark, the Tulsa Golden Hurricane started fouling at a rate much higher than their previous rate in the contest. I did the math. First 65 minutes, they averaged a foul every 6 minutes. They picked it up to about one per minute and got a yellow card. Now, it's important to note that I did not watch the game. I did not see these fouls. Video of the game is available on the Tulsa website, but you have to pay for it, so I'm not doing that. And this is only something that came to me on Monday afternoon to look up how things happened as we got close to the 70-minute mark. And if there was nothing there, there's nothing there as far as specifically fouls and substitutions. The timings on these fouls slash yellow card, again, 70 minutes being the magical mark. 65:03, 66, 67:15, the card at 68:23. No Bulls fouls in that time span, if you're wondering. What can delay a game? What can cause the clock to stop? I don't know, you commit a foul, which sometimes can lead to a player on the other team being hurt, and that stops the clock. Oh yeah, substitutions. Tulsa made one at the 56:34 mark, another at the 60:17 mark, and another at the 63:42 mark. Just pointing those things out. But again, being fair, I didn't see the game. So let's say anything that I just mentioned, the fouls, the subs, would have happened anyway, regardless of the situation. Here's the real question. Let's say all those things would have happened either way, but Tulsa was ahead 2-1. Do you think they might have waited 96 seconds before they said, well, weather? I guess that's the real question. We'll never know the answer. How does it affect the Bulls? Instead of being 2-0 in the conference, they have to replay that game from the beginning at a later date. Looking at their schedule, their biggest gap between games is just 5 days. So you're looking at having to play 3 games in 5 days. Or do they even consider moving it to the end of the regular season and play it, quote-unquote, if necessary, for conference seedings or qualification for the conference tournament? It's going to be a scheduling jam for the Bulls. If you're curious, the regular season ends for them at Memphis on a Tuesday, November the 5th, and the first round of the conference tournament is 4 nights later. That first round is on home site, so either way, having to make up this game is going to create a problem for the Bulls, one that was 96 seconds away from being avoided. No such issues for women's soccer over the weekend. 2 victories, including 1-0 against SMU. And for her goal in that game, Evelyn Bien was named the Offensive Player of the Week in the league. She has 60, one shy of the conference record. They are 8-3, the Bulls. And they actually have this week off. Sabrina Wagner, for the second time, was named the Defensive Player of the Week in the league. Tennis went down to Fort Myers over the weekend. Celine Yelali and Lucia Garrigues Melendez advanced the furthest to the doubles final in Group B. Well, you know, the football team was in Connecticut. The sailing team was in New London, Connecticut, on the water with those breezes in the cool weather, cold weather, actually. Third place in the A division between Marina Barzagli, Carolina Perez Rivera, and Sam Capaz was the best performance. Tomorrow, we'll let you know how it finishes. It's off to a good start through 2 rounds. Talking about men's golf in contention for a title in Wisconsin. Sixth place, but only 4 off the lead of Purdue, thanks to 2 golfers going 4 under par 68. Albin Bergstrom, who actually had it to 6 under through 11 holes, a couple of bogeys, and Luke Gifford, who birdied 3 of his last 5, leading the way. So the final round gets underway mid-morning, and again, it's Purdue at 3 over, UCLA a shot behind, Indiana 1 more shot behind. Then Northwestern and Cal Davis are both 1 shot behind Indiana, 1 ahead of the Bulls. You can see it's kind of tight and kind of going to come down to who clutches up in the final round. Wishing the Bulls the best, and we'll tell you how they do on tomorrow's show. And again, I plan on speaking to women's golfer Erica Smith, the freshman who turned in that school record 64, if I can today, if not certainly soon. And you'll hear that conversation on Bulls Beat. Some more interviews this week, considering, well, there aren't any games on campus until Friday when things really do pick right back up. Thanks for listening to Bulls Beat. This is USF Bulls Unlimited. I'm Derek Sharp.